Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Lou Maffredini is our Mr. Fix-It. Lou, I just got to plow through a couple of email with you here. Do you mind?
My pleasure.
Where are you?
I'm in my car.
You all right?
I'm good. Today's one of those crazy days, John. These floods have been a lot of work for a lot of people.
And that's why I called you again. So I'll just mention one of these. But a few of you have said, hey, you haven't mentioned that Ditka's Restaurant Group has announced that it's permanently going to close its downtown eatery. So Ditka's downtown is closed and is not going to reopen. But the other Ditka's, there are some other Ditka's will. According to the company, the other locations remaining open and will include Ditka's in Oak Brook Terrace and the Grill 89 in Westmont. But Ditka's Restaurant Group has announced that it will permanently close its downtown eatery. They said, we have made the extremely difficult decision to close our Chicago restaurant due to the economic impact of COVID-19. And the story at NBCChicago.com mentions this. Under Illinois' current phased reopening plan, restaurants will not be eligible to reopen for dine-in service until phase four. Remember, we're in phase two right now. The earliest phase four could potentially start would not be until late June under the parameters of the plan as they are now. So they just said, you know what, and then how many people are going to come downtown and be in a crowded restaurant? That's a big place. It's a great place. But in order for them to make a living, they probably need to pack a lot of people in there. And they said, skip it. We're not going to reopen. And that's too bad. But the other two, at least in Westmont and Oak Brook Terrace, are going to open up. Hey, Lou.
I know this is not why you called me, but, you know, as a business owner myself, this is the thing that I'm so worried about for these businesses, and the fact that I know that the health and well-being of all of us is so important, but, man, we got to figure out a way to strike a balance here, because these are, you know, while the Ditka Group is probably a large restaurant group, there are so many small mom-and-pop or one- or two-chain people that will never open again, and it just makes me so sad knowing what it takes to run a business and have employees that you care about, and then something like this happens. And there's no easy answer, as we've mentioned time and time again. There's no playbook here, but, man, it is heart-wrenching to see and hear these stories. And people that I know that own these businesses, you know, that will never open again, and it makes me so sad.
And then to add insult to injury, there's the story, and JB doesn't want it to sound like this, but there it is. If you break the governor's orders, hello churches, hello little businesses, they could fine you, they could jail you. They're not going to do that, but the law is now, JB now says that there is it will be a misdemeanor, punishable by up to $2,500 and a year in jail if you break the governor's orders to stay closed, which... I'm sorry to hear that. I want us all to pull together. Whatever direction is going to be a running play, let's do the running play. It's going to be a pass play, let's do the pass play. We cannot willy-nilly piecemeal do this, or it'll just be worse for everybody. That'll be the only agreed upon outcome. If everybody goes their own direction, we'll all be sorry. So we need to pick a plan. We need to stick to it. And so while I believe that, the idea that you would have the authority to fine or jail people that break these orders sounds to me like a 10-pound hammer and a 5-penny nail, or
they've got to be able to enforce it somehow.
I don't know. Boy, oh boy. But I'll tell you what, if you start jailing people who are trying to open up their businesses to feed their families, that's a whole nother wrinkle we haven't got to yet. It's just a new saying I just made up. I don't like the sound of that. Lou, 312-981-7200, tell me about your basement. Tell me about your worry about your water. Tell me about your home. If you've got a question, I want you to call in right now and ask Lou about it. I'll answer some questions as well if Lou doesn't know. Lou, how do you feel? Lou, how do you feel about standpipes? I asked Roy Spencer from PermaSeal about this the other day. If you've got a drain in your floor and it's threaded, how about screwing in a pipe so that the water doesn't come through the drain in your floor?
Well, I gave the advice to a couple family members. You know, I live on the northwest side. The northwest side got hit pretty hard with this. And some family members who didn't have the ability to do a standpipe, there's a thing called a test plug. It's used in plumbing that is, it's this rubber, basically it's a stopper. It's a rubber stopper that you can put in a floor drain and you can tighten it up. The idea behind it, just like standpipe, is that if the water backs up, it will then seek its next outlet, which could be a laundry sink. And you're like, hey, maybe that would be a great place that could hold the water there, or, you know, whatever the next highest level is. The problem with this rain, John, and the people that I told to use a standpipe or a test plug, they said it was holding for a while, and then all of a sudden it shot out like a bullet out of a gun, and it was like Old Faithful coming in. So the point is, even a standpipe where you wouldn't have that pressure, I did hear that interview with Roy, he is right that if you put back pressure on old sewer lines, which many of them are clay, that buildup and that pressure that was coming can start to shift and break inside there. And some people may get lucky to keep the water out of their basement, but they may have an issue down the line where now their sewer line is collapsed or broken and they have to address it down the line. I mean, part of the problem with a lot of City of Chicago homes in this is that there are still people. I'm parked in my neighborhood right now speaking to you. I'm looking across the street at my neighbor. Their downspouts are still going into the ground, into the city sewer. And so when the sewers fill up and the water comes down from the sky and it goes down those downspouts and it can't get to the city sewer, it goes in your basement and it shoots up like a geyser. And you have to disconnect those downspouts.
Where's that water supposed to go?
On the ground, and then hopefully you can extend it with, you know, whether it's an outdoor extender or a leader on your downspout to pull it away. And sometimes it's not that attractive, which is why people don't do it. But I got news for you. It's a lot more attractive than what a lot of people have in their basements right now.
Stan had a question for you. You're on WGN with Lou Manfredini. Go ahead, Stan. You're on the air.
Mr. Fixin, how are we doing today?
Good.
I just purchased a new house. I've got two sump pumps in each corner of the basement. And even without the rain, these things run about every 8 minutes simultaneously. So with the rain, they run about every 2 minutes. What is the better pump I can have on hand or change out? And what size should I stay with? Third, half, what?
Okay, so it's less about the horsepower as it is about the size of the pump and the amount of water that it can move. And so it's very important that you pay attention to how much water, gallons per minute, they talk about when you're buying a pump. And when they rate the gallons per minute on a pump, it's based on the lift, meaning that you'll look on the side of the box and it'll say 3,000 gallons per hour with 8 foot of lift. And that means from where the base of the pump is, how high it has to go to then go horizontally out. And so that's how you factor that in when you're thinking about the right size pump. Now, of course, a third of a horsepower, inch and a half pump, or a half horsepower, 2-inch pump, those move a lot of water. And for my money, one of the better pumps out there is a company called Zoeller. They make them, I think, down in Tennessee or Kentucky. They are cast iron pumps, very high quality, not an inexpensive pump. I mean, a half horsepower, you know, 2-inch Zoeller pump is probably a $350 pump, but it's very good. And, you know, to go back to what Roy Spencer says, all sump pumps will fail.
Yeah.
Every 7 years, you replace those pumps.
All right. Hold on a second, Lou. 312-981-7200. Zoeller, Lou said. I hope that helped, Stan. Thanks for the call. Lou will take more of your questions. Can you take a couple more questions? We asked Lou Manfredini to work a little overtime, our Mr. Fix-It. You hear him in Chicago and elsewhere, but in Chicago, Saturday mornings from, I believe it is 7 to 10. Am I right about that, Lou?
That is correct. Not quite as early as Bob Surratt, but in the morning.
Let's pick up a couple more phone lines for Lou. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN with our Mr. Fix-It. Let me lock Lou in and go to Joe on line one. Hi, Joe, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got an older house in Stickney, and I had a standpipe in there. And with these heavy rains, I was working in my shop. Then all of a sudden, on my basement floor, you know, you get those little hairline cracks. Water started coming up through there. I was getting water from all these little cracks, and I figured the water along the where the wall meets the floor, you get seepage there. But it amazed me that I was getting water coming up through the floor like that. Is that?
Well, and that is the same thing that, you know, what I mentioned. In an old home, you probably have clay tiles. And so those clay tiles are literally just slip jointed together. Back in the day, they didn't use rubber gaskets. They used mortar. They slipped them together and they put a mortar there. Over time, that mortar cracks and goes away. That standpipe now, as the water comes up, it creates pressure. Those pipes, those clay pipes are holding the water, and then it's finding a way out. And those hairline cracks in your floor, with the combination of the water coming from the outside, that's what we're going to get, and that's what all these poor people are getting with this sewage backup. This is the worst thing, because there is bad stuff in that water, and it all has to come out.
What happens with the insurance on this, Lou?
I mean, John, there isn't any. Around here, unless you have a rider, a separate flood rider, which for most insurance companies, it maxes out at $10,000. So a lot of people have a $5,000 rider or a $10,000 rider in case this happens, and then that's it. That's all they will pay. And let me tell you, you can get to $10,000 in a hurry.
Should we all just get the thing where you throw a switch at the city? I mean, like out by the curb, and then the water doesn't... I don't know if this will solve the sewage problem, but that'll cut the water.
No, it will. No. No, and so what you're talking about is a backflow preventer. And so the backflow preventer, the whole idea behind that is between the city sewer and your home, it's basically a gate. It's a door. And the idea is as the sewer starts to back up, this door closes. However, John, if you do not disconnect the downspouts from your roof and it's going into your sewer, well, then the problem is the door is closed on that end as well.
Yeah.
And so then it just comes back into your home. Now, it won't be as much sewer water because it'll be rainwater, but it's still a basement full of water.
Why are you yelling at me? I didn't do anything. I just asked a question.
I'm very passionate about this because, unfortunately, I've seen this already. I've run around the neighborhood now. You know, this is my neighborhood on the northwest side, so I've got a lot of friends and family members. And as I walk around the house, I'm like, oh, well, why is this downspout still connected? And, you know, this is why, you know, and it's like this simple stuff that I know that, you know, I guess for me or for the people of PermaSeal, you know, they look at this going, yeah, you shouldn't do that. And most people take it for granted. And I feel so badly because here we are in the middle of this crazy thing going on in our lives. And now everybody's got to deal with this. And it just stinks.
You know, that is so well put, Lou. It's not that the economy is failing or that people are terrified because of the health concern. And then it rains forever, and then you've got water coming in your basement, and you've got no refuge. It's like there's no release, no relief. And if you're one of those people, listen, I've gone through water issues in homes I've owned before, and I know there's just nothing more maddening about it. And then all of this added on, we feel your pain, and hang in there. You must know. I'll stop. I'll finish this thought, Lou, but you must know that all of these things in time will be resolved, right? They're going to find a vaccine. We're going to get a better medicine. The economy someday will turn around. I don't know when, but every day we're a day closer to it. And by God, it's going to stop raining. One of these days, it's going to stop raining. Elise had a question for you, Lou, and I think a lot of people can relate to this. Elise, you're on WGN. What's your question?
Hi. We have carpet that's glued down in our basement. It's industrial carpet. And we flooded with rainwater. And I was wondering what we can do to get the musty smell out of there.
So here's the thing. If that water damage did come from a backup in the sewer, I really implore you to pull that carpeting up and get rid of it, because the sewer water damage and the fact that that's contaminated water It is just not worth the effort, nor is it safe for you to try and clean that up. If it was truly rainwater and it's, you know, clean water, then if you're able to rent a carpet machine or a carpet extractor or have somebody come like Executive Green and come and extract it all, then the combination between getting as much water extracted out of there and then running a dehumidifier from like now until the 4th of July, right, literally, so humid, and then a combination of, you know, different odor, you know, items that you can buy, odors out, and things that you can sprinkle on the carpet, you may get there. By the time you go through all that effort, though, it will probably be cheaper and it'll be safer to just rip it all out and put new product down there.
Elise, I hope that helps. Odors Out is a product Lou mentioned. Also, Lou, a lot of people want to know, what's the brand of that pump that you liked?
Zoeller. It's Z-O-E-L-L-E-R. Zoeller. It's a cast iron pump, and it's a very good, high quality, you know, commercial grade. You can buy it at plumbing supply houses and select hardware stores.
Also, somebody, so a few of you wanted to know, what was the name of that jazz music I was playing? It's Makaya McCraven. Elif, it's M-A-K-A-Y-A, Makaya McCraven. He's a Chicago jazz man. I've been featuring some of his music today. Mark Baser's talking to him tonight on Twitch TV. Lou, you're terrific, man. Thanks for your help on all of this.
Stay safe, everybody. Be well.
That's our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, and do be well and hang in there. And all of our platitudes aren't fixing your problems, but we feel you and we wish the best for everybody.